Last week, a video went viral that was shot inside a Philadelphia Starbucks. In it, you can see as two black men are arrested, even as witnesses say they weren't doing anything wrong. The two men were released and not charged with any crimes, but the incident has sparked protests and action from Starbucks CEO Kevin Johnson. He announced Starbucks will close all of its more than 8,000 company-owned stores on May 29th for racial bias training. It's a response that garnered criticism and praise, but will it actually be effective? Here with more on that is the show's Lauren Gilger. Hey, Lauren.
Hello. So I sat down with David Hines, Associate Professor of African and African American Studies at ASU, to talk more about that question exactly. He teaches about the roots of racism at ASU, and I started by asking him about what happened here, where he sees what he calls the implicit or the unconscious bias in this.
The lady who called the police saw two black men, and she made assumptions about why they were there. And so she called the police, which is normal in those kinds of situations, that if you are white, that consciously and unconsciously you see two black men and you arrive at these conclusions that they can be up to no good. This is not about the individual looking at two individuals and saying, they're up to no good. This is about an individual who's socialized in an environment that sees blackness, in particular young black men, in a particular kind of way, assigning meaning to their presence and their behavior. So she calls the police, and the police comes, and the police also then act on those prejudices and those meanings that are attached to blackness. Here are two young black men. We are called, and they must be up to no good. We ask no questions, we arrest them, and we take them away. Now, that kind of behavior on the part of the young lady and on the part of the police is normative in our society, right? We are socialized to behave in that way, and that is why we refer to it as unconscious racism. I'm sure that lady is going to say, I was just doing my work.
Right.
And the police will say, I was just doing my work. But those institutions, that work that they're talking about, that work is rooted in a perception of a certain group of people and what they mean, what their presence mean in the public space.
Yeah, yeah. So Starbucks has been at the center of cultural debates before, but usually on the other side. Like, usually they're the ones on the progressive side of this trying to stand up for, you know, racial equality or things like that. They did that thing where they had baristas write hashtag Black Lives Matter on cups and say that phrase out loud in their stores. They did the hashtag Race Together thing. So what do you think about the company's response? Where they've said they're going to train, shut down all of their company-owned stores and train their employees in this, when they kind of are now finding themselves on the other side of this?
Yeah, I have two responses to it. The first response is a commendable response. Lots of companies and lots of institutions and individuals, when confronted with charges of racism, push back, deny it, do nothing about it. One has to commend Starbucks for immediately confronting the issue and confronting it in public and in a frank way. So let's put that on record. Mm-hmm. The suggestion that they will move towards training should also be commended. But we should also bear in mind that we are dealing with a particular kind of bias that is not going to go away through training.
Yeah.
All right? No, what we saw there at Starbucks was the consequence of a problem. And if you train people to recognize their biases and so forth, that is all well and good. But here is the story. Most white Americans are grounded in the notion of colorblindness. Mm-hmm. That is, that racism does not exist. So my actions cannot be racist. So you're really training people about something that the logic in their mind doesn't take them to. All right?
Yeah.
So yes, training I don't think is going to make a big dent. In fact, before I came to this program, I was looking to see what the studies are showing, what the research is showing. Is there a relationship between training and decreasing racism?
Right.
And none of the studies have shown that there is a relationship between, that is, that training has led to a decrease in racism. No, this is not to say that I'm against training.
Right.
I think anything that draws attention to institutional racism is welcome. But I think we have to do more than that. If I were to advise Starbucks, I would advise advise Starbucks to invest in the communities, because that's where this bias is learned. It's learned from the time we were children. It's learned in our schools. It's learned in our communities. It's learned in our churches. And so by the time we get to the workplace, these biases are embedded in us. And so therefore, I would urge, yes, do some training. It would be symbolic. But you also should get to the root of the problem. And I think what we need here is education.
So you said earlier that this sort of behavior and what carried out here was normative in our society. So I wonder then, what do you think it says that the response, the public response to this has been so outraged that people have demanded that Starbucks do something? Is something changing in our culture?
What we have had in recent times is a combination of social media. Because now with social media, these things are now put in the open. So I think the society is forced to deal with these things on a day-to-day basis. When you couple that with the fact that the frequency of these infractions, the black community has become quite militant and quite aggressive in terms of pushing back against these things. And so we see the combination of that kind of militancy, that kind of pushing back on the black community, along with social media, I think make these issues large. And there should be large issues. They should be in our living rooms. They should be on our computers. They should be on our TV screens. They should be on our radio. And so I think what we're seeing there in Philadelphia is part of a larger anti-racist movement that is developing in this country. And I want to say, while it is grounded mostly among blacks, in the black community, there are more and more whites, especially young white people, who are becoming educated and sensitized about this issue.
So do you think that is a sign of progress? Do you think that as we move forward, if those things are continued to be learned by the white community and that the black community is more apt to speak out about it, do you think we're heading in the right direction?
We're heading in the right direction. I was just about to say progress is a word I wouldn't use in this instance, but you corrected yourself. We're heading in the right direction. Sure. We've always been heading in the right direction. But we ought not to conclude that the problem is over, because the issue of racism is one that once we make progress here, it comes out in another direction and it works against that progress. So we constantly have to battle against the contradictions in the society, because large portions of this society benefit from the architecture of racism. And so when one has to make a choice between progress in race relations and my own comfort and my own benefits, it's a very difficult choice. And so we've got to work at it. We've got to move beyond training, move towards a broader consciousness of the history that brought us here. That if we're conscious of that history that brought us here, we will then be able to make better choices and become much more conscious. That is the unconscious turning into consciousness. That's where we have to go.
Dr. David Hines is an associate professor of African and African American Studies at ASU. Professor Hines, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you so much for having me.